Yeah, thank you very much for the introduction and the invitation. Just look for the presentation and start immediately.
Should be.
Ah, oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, I've heard already that you had the privilege yesterday to watch this, I believe, amazing video clip from the Swedish colleagues on the hero paying broadcasting fees and guaranteeing free and open communication. Compared with that, what I will do in the next couple of minutes, it's rather a list of criteria and structuring different criteria. So don't compare it with that presentation we had yesterday. Nevertheless, I think it's necessary if we have a presentation on different models to have some criteria in mind, which might be common or discussed for each and every system. I will start with some remarks on challenges and frameworks. The first one, fundamental changes. You talked about convergent yesterday already and what it means for appropriate base for broadcasting fee. Nevertheless, I will give you my view on this development as well. We at the Bredow Institute have been rather reluctant to use the term of convergence because we believe that technical convergence is really happening with in the digital environment. But when it comes to convergence of offerings of content and convergence of use or convergence of the legal order, it's quite a different story, and still is. It not only was, but it still is. But what you can say, of course, what it's true right now is that content which is financed by broadcasting fees can be accessible by different means, by different technical platforms. An interesting point as well is that, of course, the mobile use is increasing. It's a point, a minor point, but a nevertheless important point, which is analyzed in this legal opinion by Professor Kirchhoff as well, who you might have talked about that already, assessed the constitutional problems with changing the basis of license fee in Germany, and he states in one part of his legal opinion that each and everybody carries his household and his television set with him or her already, and so that might be a drawback when it comes to models focusing on the household, or at least you have to define what it is actually. What you can say finally is that a specific device, colleague Copes talked about that already, is no longer a valid indicator for use of specific content. I think it's true to mention that. Alongside with that development, you have really structural changes in public communication. It's hard to define the role of broadcasting, defined as a linear service, like in the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, in our days. I believe it's true to say that there is a declining role, even if the use in minutes per day is still in Germany increasing, that the role is declining, at least with younger age groups. And what I believe is true as well is that this trend to all IP networks is accelerating the fragmentation of audiences. I personally believe that that is the main reason why we need public service broadcasting in future, to ensure that we have such a thing as a public sphere, as Habermas calls it. That's not for granted in an environment where what the colleague Schönbach calls display media, this traditional media, journalistic editorial media, might have a declining role, and the research media, as he calls it, where you have to be active as a user when you want to get access to information, is paramount. And you all know better than I do the demographic changes and the loss in broadcasting revenues due to exemptions we have in Germany for people who can't afford the broadcasting fee. It's a problem as well in Germany, not only, but specifically in the Eastern German states. Just one chart. You might have charts like this yesterday but I found it interesting to show the use of radio or television via internet in Germany, and you can see really increasing from under 15% in the beginning of 2007 and now 30%, and I'm sure more today, at the beginning of 2010, of the population over 10 years old have used radio or television via the internet. I think that speaks for itself. What are the consequences? I believe the consequence is that we have to rethink financing content by broadcasting fees fundamentally. You have to ask yourself why financing institutions and where it is clever to finance content. Again, in Germany, we have some debates which are parallel right now, but I'm convinced that they will merge sooner or later. One is that the publisher, newspaper publisher, want to get money in a case you use newspapers electronically in your office, not for private use, but for business use. And so you are very close to asking yourself whether business entities shouldn't pay a kind of fee for editorial content, not only for public broadcasting, but for use of the content of newspapers as well. Of course, they would deny that they want a kind of broadcasting, a press fee. They fight the broadcasting fee on the one hand and can't ask for a part of the fee in another context. But I think these issues are very, very closely related, and I'm sure sooner or later we will talk about that. The second point is that, at least in Germany, we have a debate on the public value of private broadcasting as well. In Germany, at least the RTL group declines and says that they don't want a share of the broadcasting fee for high-quality programming, but it is a conceivable option to say that this high-value content they produce, not each and everything, but something, that you could design a system where they were entitled to their share of a broadcasting fee as well. That just for the context, the broader context, closer to the issues we have to debate right now is the fundamental question, who should pay in future? Who is really the one who is obliged to pay broadcasting fees? You can argue fair would be to have individuals pay depending on use. You could say depending on access to content. Again, the main argument, as far as I can see it, of this legal opinion of colleague Kirchhoff is saying that the access to content is paramount. And that's why you are obliged to pay, and it is constitutional under the German Grundgesetz that you are obliged to pay, because this access, whether you make use of it or not, is opened for you to this high-quality fee-financed content. You could argue individuals should pay depending on the benefit, and could say everybody benefits from a functioning open and free public communications via broadcasting. You could go a step further and say everybody, qua citizenship, profits from the functioning broadcasting order and should be entitled to pay. And you could say the household or the business establishment as such is the entity who should pay. And there might be other criteria, and I'm interested to learn whether in other countries you have already systems where you have a different approach. My main point I would, that was just the background, the main point I want to talk about is what I conceive as the normative framework for a license fee base. I have distinguished four cornerstones. The first one is the national constitutional law, obviously. In Germany, it's a very, very complex business. I had the privilege or the burden to be a consultant of the German Bundesländer with the state aid case with German broadcasting. And so it was my job to explain to the European Commission the German constitutional system. And it was not only fun, I must say, But there may be particularities in other constitutional systems as well. Of course, it's the European State Aid Regulation. You had a input on that yesterday by colleague Bernd Holznagel, if I'm not mistaken. Another point, which is not, it's a normative point, but not necessarily a part of the legal framework, the adequacy of the system in place. And finally, what I see as an extremely important issue is the acceptability of the system in place. I will talk about the different cornerstones now. First and foremost for the German situation, the constitutional law part. Of course, I can't go into detail with other constitutional systems. I just take Germany as an example. You know that the limitation of state influence when it comes to financing of public broadcasting is an issue of paramount importance in the German system. It's closely linked with the second point, that there is the public service remit, which defines the amount of broadcasting fees and not the other way around. It's hard to bring across to politicians sometimes. I had some talks a couple of days ago with one of our secretaries of state responsible for broadcasting regulations, talking about the end of advertising, which is discussed in Germany for public broadcasters. And as you all know, that would mean that approximately 1 or 1.5 euro increase of the broadcasting fee. And this politician obviously said there is no way to increase. You have to cope with less money. That's for sure. There will be no increase. We can't argue that with the citizens. That's impossible. But the standing under German constitutional law is that the public service remit defines the amount of broadcasting fees or the income, whether fees or other income, which the public service broadcasters are entitled to. That's a constitutional fact. And if there is not enough money from broadcasting fees, then the state has to guarantee in other ways that the fulfillment of the remit of public service broadcasting is possible. Another point, obviously, is the sovereignty of the parliament when it comes to taxes. I think that's more or less the same in each and every country. In Germany, there are it's not easy, it's not impossible, I believe, but it's not easy to conceive restraints for the parliament when it comes to the spending of taxes. And so that's a kind of argument which is put forward in Germany each and every time when it comes to taxes as a kind of revenue for broadcasting. I personally am not so sure that there are no ways to construct a tax-based system which really fulfills the requirement of limitation of state influence in Germany, but the debate in Germany goes into another direction, as you probably know. The German Constitutional Court said in its first and second ruling on broadcasting fees that the burden for the payers has to be kept into mind, and the parliaments are entitled to reduce the suggested amount of increase of broadcasting fees with the argument that this burden will become too high. That is more or less the only argument which is constitutional to intervene with the increase of the suggested increase of broadcasting fees in Germany. And there are constitutional requirements for specific types of dues, for example, the Gebühr or the special due, the Sonderabgabe, where in several rulings of the Constitutional Court, there are a set of criteria which have to be fulfilled if you opt for such a system in financing public broadcasting. So that's the constitutional side. I could add a lot of points there, but I just wanted to give you an insight what kind of criteria are involved when it comes to this cornerstone. The next one I can make it brief as well, because you had a talk on that yesterday, is what state aid regulation says. I think we have to take as a fact that the European Commission will consider most models we can conceive to finance public broadcasting as state aid. It does not depend on whether you have a household model or a device-driven model or whatever you can conceive. The European Commission will say that it is state aid under the European State Aid Regulation. I think we have to live with that. I personally have a contradicting view in some aspects at least, but the European Commission has to decide, not me, and so at least you as practitioners have to live with that. Nevertheless, there is a lot of leeway for the member states as regards the model of financing. It's not defined by European law. There are just some requirements like no overcompensation and proportionality of possible impacts on the market, which have to be kept in mind. I think that's not a major problem for most of the systems. I will come to the adequacy of the model of financing. There are several points which are, according to my view, rather important. One is that there has to be a fair balance of benefits and burdens. That's thing you have to keep in mind when it comes to acceptability as well, that people have the feeling that you are not paying for someone else, but you are paying for your own benefit. The second point, of course, is of major importance for the public broadcasters. That is the foreseeability of generated total income. Wherever it comes from, it has to be enough to finance the public service remit. I think that's the great fear we have in Germany, and I felt it yesterday. I've been to by accident, the place in Berlin where the Broadcasting Commission just met on this matter of broadcasting fees, and I had the sense of uncertainty when I talked with some of the members. They said, now we have this legal opinion by this German constitutional lawyer, and he said, go ahead, you can go ahead with a household-based system. He even says you run into the risk of having an unconstitutional system if you stick to a model which is device-based, which is based on broadcasting sets, as the indicator for your obligation to pay broadcasting fees. But now they are left alone with this decision, with this political decision, and they are unsure whether this will really generate the income which is necessary to fulfill the remit. And how high has the new due, the new broadcasting due to be get the same total income we have with this traditional broadcasting fee. And so I'm personally not sure that we will really have a change of systems in Germany. I can well imagine that one or more prime ministers in Germany who have to have a collective decision on that might have second thoughts about that, but that's my personal opinion. Of course, the costs of the procedure of collection comes into play. The systems are differently costly when it comes to that. And when I say costs, I do not only mean financial issues. I mean costs as regards legal issues and, for example, intrusion on privacy and things like that, that are costs as well. That is, again, closely related to my next point, the accessibility of necessary data. We have the data for the television sets, but do we really know what a household is, how many households we have in Germany? And what about if the household is the one who has to pay, and you have a lot of people living there, there's only one who has the contract with the landlord, and now he is responsible, or she, for the payment, and the others say, we don't pay our share, that's your job, and then you will have problems with this kind of a new system as well. Technical neutrality is an issue, of course, a household system where no television set is involved anymore, not as an exemption or something like that, is more neutral than another model. And I believe openness for developments. We don't know what will happening in future with the broadcasting system. I talked about this issue that publishers might have a fraction of the share as well, or private broadcasters, or the hell whoever wants independent media research, for example, might be a good idea. And things like that. It should be open for developments, is my point here. And the last one, acceptability, distributive justice in the system is a very important issue as far as I'm concerned. It shouldn't be too high. It should be an amount that it is for a normal household or a normal person who is forced to pay that, not an amount that he really cares. It has to be open for necessary exceptions, like for financially disadvantaged citizens and things like that. There might be different models which allow easier for such a thing, like another model. And last point here, the cost of the procedure of payment. That's the side of the payer, the cost of collection from the side of the collecting societies and the broadcasters is one thing, but it shouldn't be too costly for the person who pays as well. And I come back to my question, what if a lot of people are living in one flat and only one is has the contract with the landlord, then there might be a lot of costs to sort out who pays how much from this broadcasting fee. So that's my set of criteria. I could make it longer, of course. I just want to give you an insight how we would approach in designing such a system to judge, to evaluate different models of license and fee payment. If we have a brief look at these models and apply this criteria on that, I can't do that for each and every model, obviously, but just give you an insight. Then again, you can have, like I said in the beginning, you can have the use as one thing you have to consider, or the primary thing you have to consider, or the access, or just the benefit from functioning public communication or being a citizen. I think most countries will opt for the second or the third, and not really for a public service pay model, which is a conceivable model, really. And so you have primarily these options I've put there, like a special tax, a quota from an already existing tax, payment per household or business establishment or whatever, or a kind of citizen fee, which has been debated in Germany, that everybody is obliged to pay qua citizenship. And my last point will be how to use this criteria to evaluate these different systems. I think such an evaluation is necessary because you can see that many countries have problems to adapt their systems to convergence change. I have here, again, these maybe colleagues from Finland are here, and as far as I know, the last possible point, the plans to change the system have been stopped. Now, I think 2013, it will be changed, or it is planned to change. In 2 years, they will continue to have the device-driven system. And as far as I know, there is no tool so far to evaluate these different models as a tool for the lawmaker. And so the last step I would show how we would approach that. I say we because this thinking is based on a joint project with the Institute for Broadcasting Economics and colleague Copes, and we from the Hans Bethe Institute did a couple of years ago. And there we already suggested to go forward, but nobody would listen that time. Maybe they should have, but nevertheless. What we suggest is that for each and every system you consider, you will list all those criteria and possibly more, and then give different scores for the different systems. That's not an easy task. Obviously, there's a lot of thinking behind that, and of course some margin of appreciation is there, but you can differentiate between that. Of course, if a text-based system would be here, then the limitation of state influence would be difficult, and so there would be a rather low score. But as I said before, and I will argue that way later on if I have the chance, I'm not sure whether you can't make such a system workable so that you have a higher score when it comes to limitation of state influence. And you could do that for different models. And you can even make it more complex. That's not in the right column. Nevertheless, you can weight the different things and say limitation of state influence is that important under the German system, or the costs of procedure of collection are that important that you give the score a higher factor. I believe that if you walk through the different systems and carefully apply those things, you get a better picture of the pros and cons of such a system, and the argument would be more based on facts than it is right now. My last slide, some conclusions. I believe that this licensing fee debate is connected, of course, with the debate on public service remit. Do you want a public service broadcaster that is present in the Internet, not only with program-aligned services, but with Internet-specific services? Then you walk from a dual broadcasting system to an information order, a dual information order. That's the basis, I think, for rethinking the model of financing. When you rethink that, I believe that the main criteria to take into account are the costs of the procedure of collection. I think that's a rather important one. The foreseeability of the income, at least under the German system, where the broadcasters are entitled to the sum they need to fulfill the remit, then you have to guarantee the income or have some mechanisms to fill the gap in case there is not enough money. From that, you should, of course, better not substitute a flexible term like television set by another, like household or whatever, which is as complex to define as the first one. Then you get into problems again. At least at the German situation, I do believe that this supposed weak factor of acceptability is of major importance. We had some debates with the net community on minor protection issues. They become rather strong in the political sphere as well, this whole internet sphere and internet communication. And when they will see that they have to pay much more than they have to pay right now, there will be an uproar. And I'm not sure whether the politicians will really have the guts to oppose that. And so I think this is in practical terms a rather important point. So that's it from my side. Thank you. Maybe you recognize it. It's from the Swedish video again, which, as I said in the beginning, found really marvelous. And I hope you enjoyed this talk as well. Thank you.